It's a very low barrier to get into the Gronk Squad.
That's crazy.
We've committed to do the Daily Talk Show for 10 years.
So hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Put it in the calendar.
Put that one in.
I'd just like to check the temperature in the room.
I told you my squeegee story.
It is outrageous.
Come on, let's go.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 965.
Happy Chewy Tuesday. How are we, everybody?
I'm really glad that you've really gotten on board.
Should we do Chewy Tuesday now or save it to the end? What do you feel like?
No, let's do it now.
I mean, that is the stupidest question. It is like bringing out a cake to a child and saying, would you like to wait till after dinner? Mm-hmm. It's your choice. Would you like chewy would you like cake now or after dinner?
Yes.
You know the answer is always after dinner.
Can I also say that we're currently drinking out of Wendy's cups?
Yeah.
Or you're drinking out of your Camcorder Club mug as well?
Yeah, I go both.
But Larry from Kentucky hooked us up with a bunch of these cups. Now, I can confirm that
Tommy is the superior water drinker in the office. There was four of us and we did a sculling competition of water and I won.
Congrats.
Thanks, bro.
But we the Daily Talk Show cups, which will go beautifully alongside the Wendy's cups.
Yeah.
If you are in Kentucky, please go to any Wendy's. Not sure which ones Larry looks after, just go to any of them. Say Larry sent you.
As we've always said, support big business. And also support bigcupcompany.com, which is where you can put the feelers out there to get one of these big cups that we have coming in about 17 weeks, because you sent a message. You've been saying they could be here like every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you send a shipping notification. Our fucking cups are in Compton, California. They're by the docks.
Well, I didn't realize
that you chose shipping. It's funny. People say shipping. Mm-hmm. It's air freight half the time.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's how we got such a good cost on them. And because they weren't giving many details as well, it just kept saying en route, en route, en route.
Yeah.
Like every hour it would give me a notification en route. And so I was like, this has got like how many places are these cups going to? And then I got a proper one through DHL which said going into container. And so it's leaving Compton. I then looked up, have you ever looked up how far something takes via ship? Do you have any idea?
I would say from California, 2 weeks.
Yeah, they said that like the what I could find was it like a bunch of random like courier companies or whatever, and it's like expect to wait up to 45 days.
Oh wow,
potentially. So we will have
hopefully before episode 1000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
we'll be fine.
Anyway, so I got a text message from Ben Fordham last week. It was
always a good thing.
It was a photo of some goodies, and it was just chewy galore, like on a desk. And he said, "Coming from Hazem," and Hazem is the owner of Redfern, the greatest convenience store in the world. Mm-hmm. Redfern convenience store. He's an entrepreneur like no other. He's a quickie mart entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has the best convenience
It feels like it's more than a quickie mart.
Well, I mean,
quickie, it feels.
There's
it feels
actually a brand, Quick E-Mart.
Oh, really? Yeah, sure.
The E-Mart.
Well, this is like it's more convenient than it is quick.
Definitely, I feel like he's gone rogue on a. He's got some sort of franchise and then gone so rogue, and it's now just become its own thing. I don't think that's what happened. We had him on the show.
Yes, yeah.
It's a convenience store on the corner in Sydney in Redfern, a suburb called Redfern, and it has everything: imported Cheetos, a cereal,
LaCroix,
all different types of drinks, proteins. Like it's full on. It's the place you want to go, and you wouldn't think it would be there, like in a place like that. But mate, Josh, can you film?
Yeah, sure. We also did we did an episode from the convenience store. So if you just type in the Daily Talk Show convenience store, into Google, you will find it.
It's called SEO. Anyway. Ben Fordham has sent that through and I said, mate, this is the best. Thank you. Got the tracking number. Josh said, thanks, mate. So pumped. Ben said, I know Chewy Tuesday is on life support, so I wanted to send some oxygen.
So
here we go. I'm going to unbox it. I actually don't have any. Oh, he's really done a good packing job. He knows what he's doing. No knife. I've got my keys here. Oh, perfect. So today, what we're doing, because I actually own this segment now.
You're renting it. You own it as much as the media owns their Facebook pages.
Could be taken by
big business, mate.
All right, I can already smell it. Oh yeah, there you go. Redfern Convenience Store. Mm-hmm. That's it. 152A Redfern Street. Okay, we're opening this up. Oh, he packs well, and he packs in some nice. It's just
newspaper.
Next Australian census to count non-binary sex. This is good. You get your chewies and you get informed.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so I'm opening up. Oh, it's just under a kilo. Oh, smells like I'm at.
There is. Oh my goodness.
Smells like I'm at the Melbourne show.
Can I pick a colour?
Yeah, pick a colour.
Purple.
Oh, purple? Okay. So I'm going to first come out and say, are we counting these, which aren't necessarily chewing gums, as part of Chewy Tuesday?
What is it called?
They're called high chews. And I've eaten these before, versus something like this, where it's called drive gum, energy gum, with caffeine and guarana. I mean, you don't. Do you want to get fired up on this?
Yeah, I could have that before bed. Just getting fired up. Yeah, what one do you want to go?
Mate. We're doing this. Oh,
so it's Jelly Belly Very Cherry Gum. Has it got sugar in it? Just out of curiosity.
Cherry, naturally and artificially flavored, sugar-free gum. Dude, I'm all about this.
All right, let's do that.
And they're in like I feel like I'm on nicotine gum.
Yeah, like they're in those sort of like little
aluminium
sort of things that you push out.
Here we go.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Slide that over here. Here we go.
Thank you.
Oh, that's gone to the ground. But this is, mate.
All right.
Hasn't been Fordham. Thank you. There is so many good flavors. Oh,
so smell on your snuffer. Oh, it smells like a pharmacy in the US.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Or as we say, it smells like asthma, which we're all for.
Oh, fuck. It smells good, doesn't it? Oh, it's got a real cherry. Like it's
cherry flavor.
It is asthma.
Okay.
Right.
I'm about that.
Mm.
Dude.
Like Dr. Pepper?
It is.
Mm.
It's like Dr. Pepper gum form.
Mm.
There's Ben Fordham, we've got oxygen, baby.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. And we've got asthma.
Well, I need a Ventolin puffer.
12 pieces. Yeah, very good. Thank you, Hazem, from the world's greatest convenience store, Redfern.
We literally have a year's worth of Chewy Tuesday segments, and the problem will be, I think the fair thing is, it's free game, whatever you say. When one's opened,
we finish them.
It's done.
What do you mean?
But we can't open any that haven't been done on the show. So it starts on the show. Then if you want to be a pig and smash six after this, can't stop you.
Thank you. Got some lovely messages from yesterday's episode.
So, where do we start?
All right. So, we did a whole episode about the changes of the show, what's been happening behind the scenes. We tried to be as honest as we could be.
Yeah, and it's not because we're not honest usually, but one thing we didn't say on that show was the start of this year, before we started back doing this show, we were sitting in the studio before it was put back together because we finished the year doing some client work and we had to pull out all of our gear because we needed to put it all into a production that we had on for our business, Full Stack Films, big media company, whichever one you want to go for. And you were lying on the ground because, I don't know.
I actually don't really remember this.
And so it started upstairs and then it just sort of came downstairs.
Yeah.
And then we were chatting about what we want to talk about this year. And I think I think we were looking at, you were definitely thinking about how much do you want to share of your personal life? Like, you'll always share, you have to share.
Yeah.
Anything you talk about is personal to you because it's your experience first person. but it's about some of the private things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think the, also like the cockering you got over the Christmas bit. We haven't talked about.
Can we quickly, before we go on, can we talk about the client shoot that we had yesterday?
Yeah.
And the clients had a monitor. And so they've got your iMac.
Yeah, we used my iMac, whatever it is, 27 inches, mm-hmm. a client monitor to see the video being pushed through to
So the client could watch the video that we're filming. Anyway, did you know Jess came up to me during the shoot and she said, "Hey, just so you know, Tommy's iMessages are appearing on his computer so the clients can see the messages." And so, because Jess had just messaged you because they're sort of, 15 meters away behind the curtain or whatever. And Jess had messaged you about, "Oh, can we get a pick up here or whatever?"
Yes, yes.
Did she tell you at that point that had happened?
I'm just looking at my messages. I can't see, but I know she did tell me that. I think she whispered in my ear,
mm-hmm.
"Your messages that are coming through your phone are showing up on the client monitor."
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, "Yeah, sure." I forgot about it. I was like, "Yeah, I'll get to the hectic day shooting." Mm-hmm. So I was going to go fix it.
And anyway, Amy, your wife, sends you a message says,
she said to me, "Love you, darling. You smelled so sexy this morning," which is an unusual message for her. It was true. It was true. I smelled good. I walked in and I had just, my mum bought me this, this mm-hmm. cologne, and she's like, "Oh my God, I got an amazing deal on it." Turned out she'd bought me the aftershave, not the spray.
Ah, okay.
So there's a difference. One's like more watery and you rub it on your neck.
I didn't realize that.
But it was half the price and I hadn't mm-hmm. used it. And now I'm all about it every morning.
Oh, really?
Anyway, so I did do that and I walked in. I kissed her goodbye. It was 5:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
About to get an Uber to come to the shoot.
Yeah.
And she did even say, "You smell lovely." And so, I got it going. Yeah, I got it going first thing. And so it was nice that she'd followed up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when I start putting in effort, I will get more messages like that. But then the client said after, it was like, "Nice to know that your wife thinks you smell nice." I'm just glad it wasn't anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to hide anything.
And so anyway, on sharing, I need to take my chewy out. Otherwise, I'm going to be annoying.
I did it. Yeah. I've got it because I'm going to pick that up. I'm going to pick it up.
It goes white. On the different sharing stuff. I think just even the design of the show, if you think about it, we've had sort of different types and formats of the show. Some of them have been deep dives with guests. Others have been just you and I chatting.
Yeah, well, we went and did a month of this show where we did how many guests? I mean, the times where we did go away mm-hmm. and we did 20 guests.
Yep.
In a month, but there was a time where we ramped
5 days
up.
There would be guests, every single day.
We ramped that up,
mm-hmm.
and the internal workings of a show. If you didn't like the sound of that, we think that does. I don't even know. We're thinking that will be more interesting to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then you find out based on numbers that it's not more interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not connecting or engaging more.
Yeah.
Than when you and I have just been. Shooting the breeze.
But the thing is, I think that not everyone will say whether they like something or don't like something. So we won't even realize. Half the changes that we've made, we haven't even realized that we've made them. They've just happened slowly over, a long period of time that you can sort of, I don't even think that we were actively saying outside of the Mason thing, which the reason when you're dealing with individuals and your work, it's a different kettle of fish. So I can be as honest as I want about things. You can be as honest as you want about things. But we have a responsibility with the people around us around what we share of them. Mm-hmm. And so that's with Amy and Bree, what we share. Sometimes we go over the line with that. But that's what you get to do, in a relationship. But so I think that was, I don't think we've actively ever been saying, we'll sort of be dodgy fucks about something. But we got a few emails, some lovely emails. We got one from Nellie. She said, "Hi, guys. I just wanted to thank you for today's episode. I'll be honest in my below remarks and hope I convey them in the right way. Recently, following the changes you have made, I was feeling really disconnected and did not understand how you could make changes that were clear to us gronks, but seemed you were just trying to ignore the changes you had made.
Mm.
I guess that is a con of previously sharing so much with everyone. I was thinking over the weekend, I wouldn't expect Woolies to explain why they changed their shop set up. So, why do I expect you to explain yours?
I will say on that point, Nelly, I've walked around Woolworths after they've changed it thinking, these fucking dogs.
Yeah.
I can't find shit.
And then also shop to shop. Let's just have some consistency, you know.
Come on, please.
I think I needed to look at things more as a business than as a friend relationship. Because let's be honest, even if you don't know me, you kept me sane during COVID and became my friends. Anyway, with all that aside, I truly appreciate your honesty in today's podcast. Even though you didn't owe anyone an explanation, I think it was great to remind us all you are in fact a business and need to do what is best for you guys. Anyway, unsure if my email's ramblings make sense. All the best, Nelly. Thank you, Nelly.
Thanks, Nelly. That's nice.
And so, yeah, I think that this was... across the board, it's hard. Like decisions. Yas sent us an email and she said, "When are you guys going to do live again?"
Oh, yeah.
And the interesting thing is, it's never been a big decision. Like, we're not doing live anymore. It just ends up being a bit of a practical thing. Mm. So as we started to do more things and had more projects on, we couldn't be as consistent with our timing. We weren't. It was actually really easy when we were doing it remotely to say, "Oh, we'll just chuck it live at the same time," because we had to sort of all the tech set up anyway. Whereas in studio, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and Ian Gronk also emailed through. He said, "I think it's amongst other lovely stuff." He said, "I think it's probably one of the most important episodes you've released." I know I was quite sad and confused with the news that Mason was no longer around, which the first time he heard, this is me speaking now, that it was on Instagram and we'd written something that you could, you know, gave someone the time to sort of read through the decision making. But then the episode yesterday was really talking about that in detail.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was such a big part of TDTS, love watching him grow and the crazy stuff you used to put him through that he, you know, said yes to. That was the best thing. That's why Ian loves him, because he was the guy that would say yes, but probably not that comfortable about it.
And would lean into it.
Exactly. And that's where you grow. He said he'd like to thank us for yesterday's episode and explaining what life has been like for BMC. It's easy to forget that the main priority for you guys is running the big media company and making the business a success. So it's easy to forget that there's next to no money in podcasting. it's interesting because it's – yeah, I don't, like, I mean, the thought of – I definitely felt the sense of we weren't talking about it, but that was the reason for not talking about it, because we needed to make sense and actually talk about it properly.
Mm-hmm.
How much have we talked about just off the cuff, and it probably hasn't – we're forming thoughts as we speak about many topics. That's the beauty of the podcast.
Yeah.
It's also the downfall if you're wanting to have clear – communication about a specific area.
Well, I think that the other thing too is, so we used to do, I think there was a time where we were doing heaps more in regards to sort of, what would you call it, story arcs or things within the show, had more things going. But I think for me, what I realized, like I would create, make a lot of promises. Many of them wouldn't happen. And so I think that the other thing that happens is, you get a little bit, not worn down, but you call your own bullshit around promises and say, you know what, like what people say is, unless you're going to fucking do this thing, don't mention it, which is a hard position to be in, because then, so if this was, you know, young Gronk, Harry, Happy Harry, texted and said, "Oh, hey, if you, are you going to fly a virtual plane on episode 1000, like you spoke about a while ago?" I'd forgotten.
It sounds like a dumb idea.
Yeah.
What for?
It'd be fun. And so anyway, there was a bunch of those where I was like, if you think about it, there were the clubs, the book club, the adventure club, the life hack club. They were heaps of fun. We didn't necessarily have the momentum, the energy, the time, the interest to do the things all the time.
I did one book bike ride. Mm-hmm. You did one book club.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and Mace dealt up a bunch of life hacks.
Yeah.
That's a fulfilled promise.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that like everyone during 2020, everyone's starting to reflect, you know, what do I want to share? What are, like, you know, what's the point of all of this?
I mean, for you, what is the response of having the insight into a few people's mm-hmm. minds? You got some lovely comments on YouTube. This was we got one on Instagram. Appreciate the talk today, guys. Trust the process. A bunch more similar mm-hmm. to that. What did Ryan say?
Yeah, Ryan on YouTube said, thanks for the episode. Appreciate the honesty and transparency. Really impressed that you guys are having this sort of chat publicly. Giuseppe said, 100% understand keeping certain things to yourself, but the transparency in this episode is really appreciated. Mm. Rooting for you guys even more.
Thanks, yeah, Giuseppe. It's a funny one because, I think it was even last week, and it was probably like, at what point do you take into account the context that you're in? So last week, I reckon I was fucking feeling like, mate, I'm done. Mm-hmm. This is why I don't say it then, mm-hmm. because I don't feel like that this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I could fucking easily go and get some job where I'm not having stress and not worrying about staff and not worrying about my getting business for my, you know, for the business, mm-hmm. worrying about what Josh, you know, like all of that.
Yeah.
But then what degree do you need to stop and go, context? We're in a fucking pandemic. It was a lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
There's potential stresses on the horizon mm-hmm. that aren't yet come to fruition, but all real.
Yeah.
Money's real. Mm-hmm. You know, a business is real. Things need to happen and it can all be taken away. And that's why I don't verbalize necessarily everything in those moments of darkness, because I'm like, and here's what I don't know. Is it not, like, if I came to you and said mm-hmm. that, you and I would just probably, you know, talk dark for a bit mm-hmm. and yeah. not without, other than going, yeah, well, we got to do that tomorrow. We got to mm-hmm. get back to it tomorrow. And so it's hard because at what point do you hold back on addressing these things? Because there is a version of working it out. So you feel down knowing going to the gym, literally that's exactly what happened last week. I went to the gym at like 5:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I was on fire that day. Like I mm-hmm. felt fucking like 150% better than the day before.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how's that work?
But it's also like the whole idea that thoughts aren't facts.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you have, I guess you want to be around people that can understand. And if you can't even reconcile it, if you can't understand, I think that I think there is a generational thing to this as well, like having many conversations after the episode went live. My older friends tended to be nervous about the transparency, or nervous is probably not the right word, but it's just, I think that the older generation would tend to say, you know, like, you don't need to tell people everything. Like, it really, like, you know, saving face a little bit, or, you know, what is this going to do? Like, is it, you know, is it setting up, you know, your clients? Like, are they going to think, oh, like, are these guys, you know, are they okay? Mm. That type of thing. But I don't think that that's a something that we worry about.
It's hard to be in that state and then ask for help mm-hmm. if you are fucked.
Yeah.
So, I feel like it's too far of a leap if you've just kept everything in. And so I don't know where it is and what the line is or where you should. I think it's personal about what
mm-hmm.
what your ability is to, you know, cope with these things and what coping mechanisms you do use
mm-hmm.
that alleviate some of those stresses. But I just imagine there's heaps of stuff we haven't talked about with our business
mm-hmm.
and the struggles. But here's a good thought. If you've thought that the times where we have been sharing a lot have been good times, probably the hardest times.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about that, like the hardest times of our business have been the times we've probably shared a bunch in terms of our personal
mm-hmm.
life and Mason, but we haven't been talking about the the anxiety-producing mm-hmm. mission that can be a business.
Yeah.
And not being where you want to be.
Yeah. Also, I think we're going back to the format of the show. I think that we are still figuring out what we want the show to be, which is fine. Like, I think that we understood that there's a process of showing up, but this is going to evolve. This is going to become what it needs to become, and it's not going to stay the same. Like, we're not staying the same. Mm. And so, if the individuals within
it- You're a guy wearing Crocs today.
Yeah, no, I'm wearing Crocs.
You're not the same.
I've got a big cup. I'm feeling great. And so, that's what I like. What I like is that the Daily Talk Show can be whatever we want it to be. I do think about the consistency. So, what I feel that we bring for Gronks is that consistency, that you know that you've got something that you can put on, you can listen to, you can sort of detach from whatever your reality is and listen to us, you know, whether it's talking about serious stuff or having fun. And I think that is the key thing that will always stay the same.
Mm. I think it has. And so, if I was to understand why without... So, you can always look back and think, what was the strategy that you didn't even talk about that mm-hmm. actually ended up happening? And if you don't think you have a strategy, that is the strategy. Mm-hmm. No strategy. You know, yeah. The reason we don't bring stuff up or have talked about it, like one of the reasons is trying to work it out and articulate it properly and wanting to give it the best version of delivery or whatever. But it's also like the last couple of months have actually been like fun, the show mm-hmm. for you and I.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
And that's at the cost of not necessarily talking about everything mm-hmm. that's going on, but just enjoying what we're doing.
So, we spoke a bunch over the weekend. We spoke a bunch on the weekend about social media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking still torn.
I mean, so the thought is that, you know, we go through, you know, I was reading a book. You know, there was a guy in the documentary, The Social Dilemma. He's the one that was sort of the one of the OGs of virtual reality. I think he's got the big, long dreadlocks, real arty-looking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a book.
Dude, that guy telling you that virtual reality is going to be a thing 15 years ago? Yeah. Oh, shut up.
It was even like this.
Longer?
Yeah, yeah. It was like a long, long time ago. It's, you know,
wow.
He has a book, 10 Reasons to Delete Your Social Media Accounts Now.
Short or long or just like a one page?
Audiobook. So, I'm not sure. I'm just sort of going with the flow, listening to it. While I was vacuuming, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the takeaway? Is he dropping anything that, I mean, is he, clearly it's in the title, he's not on, mm-hmm. he's deleted them all?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that a lot of it is around we are being manipulated every day with these tools. And so, we've spoken about this many times before. But I think that the feeling that we have, the questions that we have around, do we need to be on these platforms? What do they do? Like, what happens if we don't engage on these platforms? What can we do instead?
Is there a book called
10 Reasons to Stay On?
Well, is there a book called Surviving as a Business Without Social Media in the 21st Century?
I mean, I think that there's heaps of businesses that do. Like, this is the thing. Like, how many actual clients do businesses get through social media? Some of them a lot. But if it's a relationships game, if it's all those other things, maybe we're overbaking how much we need it.
Yeah, that's definitely true too.
But we also don't do a good job. Like, I've never done a good job of responding to comments. Like,
one thing I was just going to say is, do you think you need to do a good job? Like, if you were to reframe what it means mm-hmm. for success on those things and what it means, because what it automatically does for a guy like you is you're thinking of the optics of what mm-hmm. people are thinking about, how you're doing it, mm-hmm. how you're being perceived, which is a version of what needs to be thought about.
Well, if you're building relationships, so the thing that's always annoyed me about our social media, all of that sort of thing, is we've never been good. I've never been good at responding back to people. And so, if people are going to spend the time to comment and then we don't write back, it sort of sends a conscious, unconscious message mm. that it's like, are we not listening?
But, I mean, think about anyone who you like and no comparison to how big we are, but, like, the bigger people.
But they still, like, a lot of them do. Like, look at Diavela, like, spends, you know, 15 minutes after. The thing is, in 15 minutes, he could have a bunch of comments.
Well, you've got the, you've got a pool of comments.
But I don't think, like, he was at the beginning, like, just responding back. I think that people who do social media well are wired that way, that they can, like, I will just sit on comments for ages and think and, like,
really?
Yeah, like, but I never write back, but I'm, like, thinking about, oh, what can I write here or, like, yeah. And so.
You see the people that get back to people with emoji, they just go through, it's just shakers, fire symbol. Like, it's clearly just
ticking a box.
Ticking the box, getting back. And so, yeah, what is that all for? Like, does that suffice? You pay someone to do that. And so
then what's the, like, yeah, what is the point of all of this?
Or if you could if you could take away some of the meaning of it that you apply to it, maybe then it is like zero fucks given, but not in a zero fucks like I don't care about you people. But because there's a difference between the arrogant chant.
But do people, but the thing is, do people notice the difference? I think that part of it is that for a lot of people, social media is their reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, so Facebook have shut down all the news publications on their platform. And I was reading an article of this woman, had to go to the website, you know, had to go to the actual fucking news site to find this. Of course, it's a woman who's a single mum of a couple of kids that she said how disconnected to the world she feels because her window to reality was through Facebook. I was like, oh, fuck, that's a problem for you. Because if that's your window, it's manipulated. It's distorted. Look out your actual window and you'll probably see a fucking another house or a, you know, an apartment or a park, whatever it be, or bars if you're in jail. But, like, that's the real reality.
And so what's stopping you from getting off social?
The unsure and maybe the being unsure about what that even does, what that even means, what we're doing, what the impact will be. There's a difference if it's an experiment for a month.
How does social media make you feel?
I mean, other than just a fucking little tickle in my gooch when I get, you know, a bunch of comments back about something that I've posted. But I mean, there's an in touch vibe. You know, I saw Brie posted a lovely photo of the sunset of the
rainbow
this morning. I saw Jess Lucas.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, they did. I should do it. I took a nice photo. And so I'll post that up. But it's funny because it's so obvious. Anything that you think is probably go to, there's so many people, their patterning is sunset, you know, sunset or rainbow
photo, Instagram, rainbow photo, but this is
exactly,
this is what we're all doing.
And so
we're robots,
but that's a connection in some respects that you're making. Brie got back to me about mine. I think I didn't get, I'll get back to her about hers.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Good perspective of where she is and where I was for the rainbow, the size of it. Interesting that rainbow, depending on where you are, still the arch is the arch, no matter which way you're looking from. Well, because you guys were in a different suburb.
Brie's north side. She was at
the
gym.
Was north side. Ah, okay, yeah. Because then, but Jess, yeah, it's interesting. Interesting. I wonder what, you know, people on the outskirts. This isn't. I mean, I might probably do a full investigation into is a rainbow. Does it look like the same rainbow from every angle?
And so
it probably doesn't. I'm being fucking.
Well, so the thought on the social media thing, I feel that there is, it's too easy just to keep them.
Yeah, because it's rewarding. You post, like I was looking at something, mine, 3,000 views on Instagram, like that I put up. Like this is the problem. You get a little tickle, you land a viral video. Oof, yummy. You know, what for? I don't know. See, here's the thing. We talk about keeping it or we talk about what it's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, unless you have a shop set up through Instagram. Unless you has them. Why?
With the convenience store.
No. E-store.
How many people, like Hazem has a great Instagram account that brings heaps of, like.
So, yes.
And he's active and he's engaged.
So, he has a product that is sold based on the content. So, but he, if you were to look at.
He sells online as well.
Yeah. So, if you were to look at a Country Road, mm-hmm. you can go onto their page. Mm-hmm. You can click on a photo. It has little dots on it. Click on that, shows you the dress, how much it is. You click through, buy it. Very clear reason and very clear to be able to track the success.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if their metric is sales because they're a business, the hard bit is content. What's your metric for success?
Yeah.
And so, that's where I think the trap can be numbers, more and more and more equals more and more success. And so, if you were to reframe the success being more specific to the creation and sending, shipping, Seth mm-hmm. Godin, maybe that dulls down the noise that comes from the lack of understanding of what success looks like.
Yeah. There's a documentary, a short documentary that we watched over the weekend, Leaving the Internet.
Leaving the Internet, yeah. When was that made?
So that would have been 2013. It was made by The Verge. Paul, what's Paul's last name? I'm trying to remember. He basically decided, I'm going to get Paul Miller decided. He's been on the internet his whole life.
Mm.
Don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So he leaves the internet. Spends a year off the internet.
Wait, just to break it down quickly, laundry list, going off the internet means no phone, like no iMessage,
mm-hmm.
no like GPS, no maps on mm-hmm. your phone. So, you have to go burner vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then do you even still use your burner? No email.
Yeah.
Like no.
But how appealing
no
is.
No net bank.
Okay. So, all of those things, like there's a bunch of, and in the 10 reasons to delete your social media account, the author talks about the internet, smartphones, they're not bad. Social media is specifically doing a thing with algorithms and all that sort of stuff, which changes the experience that we all have. We become the product.
Yes.
If
you don't pay for the product,
you are the product, yeah. And so...
Are we Chewy? Because we didn't pay for this Chewy.
No, we're a vehicle for Ben Fordham to get his name out.
And and Redfern Convenience Store.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're just whores.
Both two guys who don't need it.
Anything.
Don't need
anything. This is costing them.
This is a charity case on their behalf.
You know what they say, put on your oxygen mask first before you put it on others.
Before you help others.
Yeah,
so they're good. They're in good condition. Yeah. They're trying to help a few fellow strugglers out.
So I don't know. I feel like that's a conversation that I would love to act upon soon around social media and just bye-bye, like just going.
Yeah.
I did it a bunch of times, obviously. I have done it a bunch of times.
But did you do it then?
Well, I remember
I guess you've quit smoking if you had just quit it and then got back on. No, probably not, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in 2009, I deleted Twitter and Facebook and all of that sort of thing. Actually, I didn't delete Facebook. I deactivated Facebook.
It's not deleted, yeah.
But deleted Twitter. I actually put a profile pic up when I was going for 2 weeks that was text.
2 weeks?
Yeah, I said, I'm going to be off social media until this date. Like, it's pretty obnoxious. But I think... But I think there is something nice. So, on the weekend, I sort of hacked together a day where I wasn't doing social media stuff.
Hacked together?
Well, just like...
You mean...
Like, didn't really, like, create. Like, I just...
What day?
Sunday.
No.
I think it was Sunday. Or Saturday. I can't remember which day it was.
I saw you Saturday.
Sunday. Just, like, not... Like, he didn't even delete the apps or whatever, but just kept my phone somewhere else, was doing a bunch of writing. It felt so good.
Mm.
I think it's time. Do you want to do it or no?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm in both camps because I could have it and just give it the worst effort and be okay with that and not be that beat up about how shit a job I do. You know, how fucking whack it is.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is, Visit Vic, we did stuff with them.
Yeah.
You know, we were on MTV's Instagram account talking about things that were happening in Victoria. They gave us some tickets to the tennis.
Oh, yeah. And that was only through social media?
Through social media.
Like, so you're relevant to them if you weren't
exactly
on that.
But maybe that's okay. Maybe if we do something else.
Just means you don't go to the tennis. Yeah. I mean, you're not a guy who would buy tickets to the tennis anyhow. Nor am I. I haven't, if we're talking about the last 10 years.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I think one of my first Instagram photos was me at the tennis.
You got paid to go and shoot for Lululemon at the tennis. That does not count.
No. This was way before.
Within 10 years?
2012. Great year. It would have been 2013. I think it must have been 2013. Anyway, social media, fuck it. I feel like I don't have that much to lose, but a lot to gain. But you need to replace it so Paul Miller does a year without the internet and then says, you know what, I'm still depressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's not funny that he's depressed, but
he didn't go outside much.
It's interesting because it's you stop drinking, which I did for a whole year. I think that's taking a break. Mm-hmm. I can say I didn't drink 2 weeks, mate. You didn't quit the internet. No, you didn't quit Facebook. But I remember thinking, so there's the person you become when you stop something, mm-hmm. you stop drinking. People around you might say, you're a better version of yourself. Do you feel when they've articulated that, do you feel that you are more content, mm-hmm. happier, like you are a better version? Like there's a bunch of things in the struggle I had from a year off was, I don't know if I was any happier mm-hmm. or sadder.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing was that the week that you're talking about that you said was really hard for you, you were externally great.
Yeah, it's called toxic masculinity.
Do you think it is? Like, so what? No, because what's the Venn diagram of toxic masculinity? Don't speak about your emotions, and then being so aware, or like being aware enough that you you're not going to respond and react. Where do they cross over? You're trying to imagine a Venn diagram, yeah?
No, I'm just trying to find out where they cross over.
Like that?
Yeah, but I'm looking for the crossover point. Mm-hmm. And so that people would be aware
No, the question is, what's the difference between holding your emotions in and understanding your emotional state and not responding negatively to them?
Well, I think if I 100% understood my emotional state, meaning acknowledging mm-hmm. that I'm feeling a certain way internally, so I wasn't caught up in it thinking I'm like not having that awareness.
So the toxic bit is not acknowledging it,
so what if it kept going and next minute you've just ignored 3 years of feeling mm-hmm. like shit based on something, a situation? That's, I think, even when I say 3 years, it had to stop at some point. Mm-hmm. Or I think emotion and, you know, feelings of up and down, that's the constant. Up and down is the constant. Mm-hmm. But the stopping point, I think there's just the realization that that I will go back to a darker place at some point. The thing I don't know, and the question that you're asking is, when do you actually talk about it? When do you share or consult? Because the hard bit is that usually the deeper you go, the less you want to.
Mm.
And so I don't. And so, yeah.
So one of the.
Because if Bodhi asked me, if Bodhi said that to me, you know, it's like.
Said what?
You can talk to this. If I knew Bodhi was in a dark place like mm-hmm. that, or Amy, it's like, mm-hmm. I want you to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell me about this, mm-hmm. which is easier said than done because, you know, I'm a bit inept. I struggle to talk to Amy sometimes, and I almost get it to the position where she's like, you want to talk about something? Mm-hmm. Like, she knows I want to, mm-hmm. but I'm just a bit fucked that I don't know how to initiate the convo,
mm-hmm.
which is like, that's just a pattern she can recognize in me, where it's like, so you want to talk? You know, it's like, I think a lot of people would have a version with their partners where they want to be prompted. They actually want to be.
But don't you, I think that your prompter has changed because yours would just be being a grumpy fuck or just reacting. But if you remove that, that was like always like a big prompter. Like if you're getting easily frustrated, but if you remove the easily frustrated bit, it's harder to pick. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's almost like a people cracking or whatever, or like it's an unconscious. Whether you say it or not, you are projecting. This is how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to throw a signal out there if, or
even try, like it's unconscious.
Yeah, so unconsciously wanting someone to acknowledge you, that you're not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, we've talked about that, like in a workplace, should you be vocal about it? It's like this is the hard, tricky bit about navigating life. There's culture and there's, you know, other people to consider. I think I am of the understanding that we're all swimming in our own thoughts and feelings and emotions. And so there's empathy there that I then have for other people, but also for myself about being in those places and then being able to acknowledge that it will change because you do see it change. And it's a fucking tricky one.
Because
there's people who are going through serious shit that are quite happy. Like a business fucking imploding. They're like, this is the best. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do this shit anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's a weird one because that for somebody else is the end of the world, the end of their world.
I think that part of it, like what I'm feeling at the moment and have felt for the last like 3 years.
Dehydrated,
but not anymore thanks to Big Cups.
BigCupCompany.com. No, but what is it, mate? Tell me. Sorry, I just need to do a bit.
I'll do the bit before you.
No, I'm just going to say, if you don't know if your cup's big enough, there's one way to find out. If you're in a conversation and you go to sip your cup and your eyes disappear from this other person like this, the cup's big enough. You want to shadow cast over your eyes. You want to feel like you could be asleep.
I've nearly had a couple of car accidents drinking with these
That's
cups.
Another thought. That's huge. Another.
So I have to actually use the lip like this.
Off to the side. Yeah. I'm not talking about cups.
Do a bit of that.
Yeah, you drive.
Driving, anyway, don't do that.
3 years you've been feeling.
A transitional period. Like you're just transitioning to a nut. Like the. Yeah, there's a I think the path that we've picked has lacked comfortability in some ways. I don't know. Like there's always like a bit of a, and I wonder, you know, like I've been thinking around the podcast. The podcast is such a big part of our lives. Think about, you know, what would it look like? This is something that we sort of spoke about briefly, making the podcast private. What would it look like, you know, in a few years' time for it to be a private feed that you have to sign up for? We do email only. It's not on the social, like it's not on social networks. That to me sounds really appealing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people that already do a version of that. It can sound quite complex if you're listening and haven't signed up to somebody's podcast that does that. I mean, it's who's it for? What's it for?
Yeah, I think like one thing that I realized was we're doing the podcast for us. Like it sounds way more sort of sexy and nice when you say we do it for people. We do it because we want to connect with people. We want to do this and that. But we do it because we like doing it.
Which I think for most things that people do that then have a reward for other people, it starts with them. Because we've been in a room talking
when no one was listening. And so for all the time that no one was listening, if we did it just for people to listen, we wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't. No one would do it.
Mm-hmm. And so, but then you can get tricked into thinking, no, 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 you've got to care about the numbers. You need to, what can you do? And this is the thing. This is what happens. You end up having guests on every single day because you'll get more numbers that way, or, you know, those types of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, the private thing's interesting though. I don't know.
You driving with a cup is probably more interesting at this point.
Than a private RSS feed.
Yeah, to people listening. Like the sight of you getting out of your car, holding a big cup, wearing Crocs.
Mm-hmm. It's a good look.
Anyway,
hi at thedailytalkshow.com. What do you think? Are you? Do you feel like you're just constantly in a state of transition, feeling a little sort of unsettled? Let us know. The other thing is, do you have any suggestions on things that you love within the podcast that you would love to hear more of? So, I'm thinking format. Like, what about some of the things that I liked growing up? Dig Nation, I loved that podcast. And that was taking the top stories on the social news website, dig.com. It's D-I-G-G.com. So, that's
they invented stuff. Dig, which was a good...
So, it was like Reddit before Reddit. And so,
but it'd be like if we created Reddit and then we did a segment.
Yes. And so,
what's on Reddit? That'd be a fucking.
That was cool though. So they would take the best stories and they would just talk about them. So you'd go, like, if I get, let's go to digg.com now.
Does it still exist?
Dig.com does. Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
They sold it.
They sold it.
What'd they make?
20? Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay. Here we go.
Which is not an original format, to be honest. What the most original bit about them doing it is that it was their website. Whereas now, you listen to The Fighter and the Kid or a bunch of podcasts. They've got a producer. All right, hit us, bunch of top stories.
Okay, so let's try it. with 840 digs submitted by John Michael Poff, the most likely timeline, the next... four seasons of pandemic life. Daily life should get better soon, then maybe a little worse, then almost surely much better. Though the next 3 months remain a mystery, the summer could be somewhat normal. Improvements could continue into fall and winter, although there is also the chance of modest relapse. And so then we would read the story. I would have an idea of it. Key details for most of the next 3 months will look like the preceding 12. I'm boring myself. Summer 21 could resemble summer 2019. The following colder months will likely see cases rise.
Is this just people? I mean, that was 2020, people talking about the future, what the future looks like when no one had an idea. I mean, the States, there's someone who is a scientist at Johns Hopkins University.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come out and said that coronavirus could be gone by like April in the States, which is fucking pretty crazy. Herd immunity based on how many people have got it. It's a bit flexing that everyone got COVID. Oh, yeah. So, it's herd immunity now because we fucked it and everyone got it.
Everyone
plus
died.
The vaccine.
Here we go. I ditched texting and picked up the phone. Hang on.
I don't get the dig thing either. Is it likes?
475 digs. Yeah. So you dig a story and then it would appear on the front page like a Reddit upvote.
Fuck, it shows you how far gone that term dig is.
Yeah.
I was literally thinking about a hole.
Oh, no. D-I-G-G, dig. 475 digs submitted. Doesn't even have a submission. So sometimes it looks like it's outsideonline.com. And they say... they go in to say that they text message fragment. I'm fucking boring myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, it could be something interesting.
I get it. I get
an article, maybe.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I'm boring myself. Okay. Right.
No, but so the question, how you got to that was saying,
format. What should
we
do?
Have you got an idea? Do you want to hear something? Take your feedback. It's probably worth hearing the feedback coming through email before it's too late and everybody's given feedback on podcast reviews in Apple. Because there's a bunch of podcasts that are getting absolutely slammed and it's a bit late because you don't want the message board you know, it coming through on podcast reviews.
Yeah.
Because they don't, you can't just edit them or delete
them. @thedailytalkshow.com. Yeah, send us an email.
We will take your feedback on board and we love you.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one, guys.
See you guys. See ya.
Bye.